Just a minute. Yes, ma'am, sis. Luke chapter number 1 this morning. I want you to find your place over there. We're going to look at verse 26. Read a very familiar passage that is preached this time of year. And I have no problem preaching messages along the time that we're in, just because that's where our minds are at this morning. And so if you'll look at verse 26, this is our third time we've preached out of this particular chapter. We looked at Zacharias and Elizabeth. We looked at how that God spoke in the silence. The very first thing that God said after 400 years of silence is found in verse 13 when the angel Gabriel said, "Fear not." That'll preach right there. Oh yes, friend, that'll preach. Amen. Last week we looked at the ministry of John and the separation, the special ministry that he would have regarding his calling and what he was going to do as far as turning the hearts of the children of Israel back toward God, because just because they were Jews didn't mean they were automatically saved. You know, there was a pastor one time I knew. He said this. He thought before he was saved, he thought he was automatically a Christian because he was born in America. How about that? I mean, the Muslims say, you know, we're the great Satan because we're supposed to be a Christian land, and look what's going on. Well, you don't have what's going on in our land today and call it a Christian land. It's very unchristian, many things that happen, many things take place. But just because you're born in America doesn't mean you're a Christian. Amen. Amen. I spent some time out in my garage, but that don't mean I'm a truck. Amen. I spent a few minutes out in the chicken yard this morning, but that don't mean I'm a chicken. Amen. It's all right. I'm not a chicken. Praise God. That's right. I eat chicken. My belt is a fence around a chicken graveyard. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. That's right. Amen. Just because we sit on a church pew doesn't mean we're Christians. Well, preacher, I'm living right and my good's going to outweigh. No, it's not your good outweighing your bad. You must have got that out of the Bible. Well, like a friend of mine says, you got it out of the Bible because you didn't get it from inside the Bible. God's not going to wait till the end of time. You get to heaven, put your works on a scale, and if your good outweighs your bad, you go to heaven. If your bad outweighs your good, you go to heaven. That's not the way it works. The Bible says that all our righteousnesses, everything good that we could do, is filthy rags. Speaking of that garage, go get one of them oily rags, them rags that you went over there and you wiped your hands with after you, you know, changed your spark plugs or, you know, cleaned up around your engine or whatever it is, or do some work. I've got some old T-shirts that I use whenever I dye leather or something like that. I'll wipe it off. Could you imagine using that as a shirt to come to church in? For me, anyway. Could you imagine setting that on the table and saying, "These are our placemats"? My mama would have whooped me had I done something like that. And I'm not talking spanked. I'm not talking about whip. I mean whoop. There is a difference. Amen. Amen. There's exactly right. Well, this morning, we're going to look at some of what was sung about this morning. From the Christmas songs all the way through the special songs. And I want to let you look in verse number 26, because we're coming to our text this morning. The Bible says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, looky here, there shall be, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, there shall be, what's it say? No end. Oh, yes. That's right. Amen. Well, preacher, I thought Mr. Biden was, well, I'm just going to tell you, Mr. Biden may or may not be the president. But I'll tell you this, listen to me, Jesus' kingdom, I was going to say Trump's over his kingdom, but that'd leave the wrong impression. But the kingdom of Christ is over the kingdom of any earthly leader, whether it's the president, the prime minister, or happens to be a dictator on the other side of the world. Jesus' kingdom reigns over all. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be done to me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Father, we pray that you'd bless our time this morning. We pray you'd open the word of God. Pray that you'd help us this morning. And Lord, speak to us this morning. We'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we looked already at God shining a light in the darkness in regard to the speaking of, for the first time in 400 years, of Zechariah. We looked at the ministry of John as far as the preparation, the preparing of the Messiah. This morning, we're going to preach along just on this thought here this morning, victory in Jesus. Amen, victory in Jesus. Now, we're already going all the way over to 1 Corinthians 15, you know, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory, you know, through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going all the way there, and we're not even to the death, burial, and resurrection. We're not even at the birth yet. We're going to preach on victory in Jesus. Why is that? Because this is where it all starts. This is where it begins. This is where it starts. And so the first thing, we're going to look at the prophecy of the angel. We're going to look at the Mary's being perplexed. We're going to look at the person of Jesus just for a second. Now, I got some other stuff under there that we'll give that all to you again. That's kind of where we're going this morning. But as we look at our text, the first thing I want us to look at is the timing here. We're going to look at the prophecy in a moment. I want to look at the timing. The Bible says in verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, when exactly is that sixth month? When is that? Well, we could come right into that paragraph and say that's the sixth month of the Jewish calendar, but we've got to look at the context of the chapter. Look with me in verse number 24 of the same chapter. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Verse 36, Elizabeth, it said this is the sixth month with her. The timing of verse 26 is based, the sixth month it's talking about is the understanding that Elizabeth is 6 months along carrying John the Baptist. So we're not going by the Jewish calendar here. We're going by Sister Elizabeth's calendar here while she's expecting. And so I know last year at during the time of Christmas last year, during the time of Sunday school, we looked at the whole idea of the timing of the birth of Jesus. We looked at why people say it had to be in the spring, why people say it had to be in the fall. And what we looked at based on some of the scripture and based on some of the historical, we had to step outside and look at some history. It was actually probably pretty close to this time of year. We looked at that last year. If we want to go back and revisit that, if anybody wants to, we can go back and revisit that during Sunday school perhaps at some point in time. But I want to look this morning at three main characters. We're going to look at the angel, we're going to look at Mary, we're going to look at Jesus. And so with that in mind, let's look at the angel's prophecy. Now, if you look in verse number 26, the Bible says in the sixth month, what are the next three words in your Bible? The angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel. Now, the angel is going to give a prophecy. Now, we're going to come back to this idea of Gabriel in just a second. But what is the prophecy? He is prophesying the birth of a child to a woman who's not even married and hadn't been with a man? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Preacher, do you believe the virgin birth? You're looking at a man who believes the virgin birth. I believe God created the world in six literal 24-hour days. Didn't stretch out over millions of years. God created mankind in six 24-hour days. Bible says, Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Believe every word of it. Man did not evolve. In fact, if there's anything that you can see in mankind, he's not evolving, he's devolving. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. Well, preacher, don't you know man evolved from animals? Well, no, man did not evolve from animals, even though the behavior we've seen over the last year looks like they act like animals. Can I get a witness? Amen. Now, you're looking at a preacher who believes the record that God has given regarding the creation, that God's given regarding the formation of man. And I'll say this, you're looking at a fellow who believes the record of the destruction of the world. The flood of Noah's day, Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. All that record. You're looking at a fellow who believes it just like God said it. I believe God parted the Red Sea. I believe God put manna on the ground. They're above the ground there. It looked like the dew on the ground. I believe God sent the quails. I believe God sent fire down from heaven when Elijah asked. You're looking at a preacher who believes the Bible. And when the Bible says that Gabriel was sent to a woman who was of the house of Joseph, was engaged to Joseph, if you will, house of David, the virgin's name was Mary, I believe she was a virgin. We give you the Hebrew word, we give you the Greek word for it, the English word here is virgin, and it simply means the exact same thing that you and I would think that it means. It's a woman who has not yet been with a man in that particular manner. And so I have no problem believing that. But I want us to look here just for a minute. The Bible says that the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. Let's just take a few minutes here and talk about this, because a lot of times when we see Christmas time, we see little pictures of little naked babies with wings flying around through the air, and we call those angels or cherubs or whatever. Well, I want to remind us that if you and I were to look at the biblical record carefully, what we think is an angel does not always qualify as what would be an angel. In fact, let me just simply say this. The word angel in both Hebrew and Greek means a messenger. That's all it means. It's a messenger. It's someone who delivers a message generally from God. And so with that in mind, I've always wondered that, you know, why does God need an angel? Why does God need angels? I mean, God, hasn't He spoken to people before? Hasn't He spoken to people directly before? Well, the answer is true, He has. But here's the thing I've wondered about, and this is not necessarily something that I'd say carve out in stone, but I've wondered just in meditation on this, could it be that one of the reasons that God uses angels is because when God does appear to men, number one, it's for a special purpose, but number two, God has to veil Himself, because if any man were to see God, no man could see God and live. It'd be a whole lot easier for God to communicate with mankind through a messenger, so that the message is conveyed without the people seeing God and be put in danger of being killed because they came to the presence of God. Now, I don't know that that's necessarily the right answer, but it kind of seems sort of a reason why God does His visitation to man through that way. But it would no doubt make a very interesting study. Now, whenever time you see the Bible use the word angel, you'll always see people using the word angel. And in some texts, you'll see people using the word man in the same context. Remember how the three angels appeared unto Abraham in Genesis 18, and then later on two of them went to Sodom, and Lot looked up and he didn't see two angels, he saw two men. Angels look like men. Amen, they look like men. Listen to me here. You're not going to find any angels in the Bible that have wings. You'll find cherubs and seraphim that have wings, but you're not going to find any angels in the Bible. Now, we classify them as angelic creatures. It's a whole different study. But angels, I'll say this, have a very impressive or a frightening appearance. What's generally the first word out of the angel's mouth, whether he visits a man or a woman? Fear not. You know why he says fear not? Because they think something bad's about to happen. Listen, friend, if one angel can destroy 185,000 of the Assyrian army in one night, those dudes are not to be reckoned with. And if one of them shows up out of nowhere in your house, it's probably something you're thinking is not a good thing. So when they say, fear not, that's a comforting message to you. Angels don't always visit in the same manner. You have angels visiting men, angels visiting women. You have angels speaking, angels not saying as much. All this goes to show that God doesn't always work things the same way all the time. God don't have to do things the same way. I'm one of these fellows, and when I find the way it works, I stick to it. I don't change. I don't like change. I do not like change. I don't. Now, I do change my clothes ever so often. When I was camping last week, I didn't change. You know, I took one shirt and one pair of trousers. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this, that I don't really like change. But God don't always do things the same way. Preacher, why is that? Probably because He's God. He can do it however He wants to do it. He don't have to answer to me. He doesn't have to answer to you. He doesn't have to follow my rules or dance to my little jig. He can do things like He wants because He's God. Can I get a witness on that? So it's interesting to look at angels as you see here. We can spend a whole lot of time there. But I want to look at Mary just for a moment because she's the human character in our story, in our text that we've read. And the angel's going to deliver a prophecy. But Mary, you're going to see here, if you'll look, she's going to be a little perplexed, a little puzzled. And I can just go and use a good southern word. She kind of looks scared. Y'all know what scared means? Amen. Amen. Let's look at Mary here just a second. Look at verse 29. So the angel comes in verse 28. Blessed art thou, you know, thou among women. You're highly favored of the Lord. Well, the Bible says here in verse 29, when she saw him, she was, troubled at his saying. And cast in her mind what manner of salutation this would be. There's fear. Can I remind us this morning that it's good to have a healthy fear of God? One of the great indictments against this world today is that men don't fear God. Men walk around like they're going to live forever. It doesn't matter if they whether they rent an apartment or they own 10,000 acres somewhere. They act like they're the Lord over their little bitty environment, and God owes them nothing, and they're going to rule, and they're going to reign. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible says every knee will bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God. So I want to remind us here, it's good to have a healthy fear of God. You ought to fear God. You ought to have a good, reverential fear of God. Well, me and God are buddies. We're mates. We're pals. We're partners. No, you're not. Don't start that junk with me. God's not your homie. God ain't your good old boy. God ain't your beer-drinking buddy either. Can I say it? Get an amen, preacher. God is holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's higher than you and I are. He's not going to lower Himself to be buddy-buddy and come along and pat us on the back and just make us feel good about all the wrong that we do, friend. God is high and He's holy. He is not going to lower Himself for any of us.
Amen.
Amen. There needs to be a healthy fear of God. If you read the last bit of the indictment in Romans 3, what does Paul say to a lost world? There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's where we live at today. The news media doesn't have any fear at all. Political parties have no fear at all. They twist, they lie, they cheat. Amen, preacher, kick that dog, shake that tree. That's exactly right. They lie, they cheat, they steal, and then whenever they say the other side does it, it's okay if they do it. That's right. Does it make it right? No, there's a God in heaven one of these days. He's going to put it in His sifter and He's going to sift it all out, praise God. It's exactly right. But I want to remind us we ought to have a healthy fear of God. Mary is exhibiting some fear. That ought to happen. That ought to happen. But not only is there fear, but notice verse number 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Not only does Mary exercise fear, but thank God she's granted some favor. So, preacher, what in the world did Mary do to make God choose her? What did God do? What did Mary do, rather, to help God look at her and see how wonderful of a job she was doing? Did she keep her house all nice and spick and span? Was everything in its place? Was everything neat as a pin? Did she take care of all the little chores that she's supposed to? Friend, look at me. God chose Mary because He chose Mary. God don't owe us an explanation. Mary was favored because God chose her. Out of all the women who'd ever been born to Israel, God chose her. God handpicked her. Nothing in Mary's life, let me listen to me, outside of her purity, recommended her to God. There was no good work that she could do to make God look at her and say, yep, she's such a good little girl. She wasn't little Jack Horner sitting in the corner eating a Christmas pie, sticking her thumb, put out a plum, said, what a good girl am I that Jesus is going to pick and be, I'm going to be his mama. May I say to you there, she was highly favored because she was the one who was going to help fulfill the very first prophecy of the coming of Christ in Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. Women don't have seed. Women don't have seed. The men have the seed. But may I say to us this morning that she was going to fulfill that prophecy. She was going to fulfill the same prophecy that every Jewish woman wanted to fulfill her whole life. I wonder if Manoah's wife thought the same thing whenever the angel appeared to her and said she was going to have a child to drink now the wine of strong drink, and Samson was born. He was a deliverer. He was a judge of the tribe of Dan, the tribe who's named after the judge. May I say to you, Samson, though he delivered from Philistine bondage, he was in bondage himself to a few things. Moses was a great deliverer. But Moses died 120 years old. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. He was still able to get out and go and fight, but it was time for him to lay down. We could go look all through the Bible. Every woman, no doubt, thought they were going to give birth to the deliverer. Here's little Mary. She might have been 14, 15, and probably no more than 16 or 17 years old at this time. Here she is. God has chosen her. She's highly favored. And here's something. She hears an impossibility. Listen to me. It is impossible for a woman to have a baby without the aid of a man. Well, preacher, don't you know about science? I understand science. I understand the science. And I still tell you that the woman cannot have a baby without the aid, some way, shape, form, or fashion, of the man. Amen. It's right. It's impossible. So here's Mary. She's fearful. She's favored. Now I want you to look at verse number 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You see that? How shall this be? You hear that? You hear? She didn't come out and say, hey, I don't believe you. She said, how can this be? Look at verse number 38. Verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary started off in fear. She started out being told she was favored. And now we're seeing Mary exercising faith. She believed God. Hebrews 11:6 says this, church, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You're not going to get anywhere with God unless you believe God. You got to believe him. You got to believe him. I told you about the brother who was down in Owensboro, Kentucky, there, Brother Thompson. And the reason he was angry with that particular store was because basically they accused his wife of being a thief. So he went on Facebook Live and kind of told the whole world what that particular store had done. Amen. Kind of makes you mad when somebody doesn't believe you. Doesn't set right when you give your word to somebody and they don't believe you. Doesn't set right when you should be believed and everybody looks at you and says, no, I can't believe you. But watch this. You know what Mary did? She said, I believe. Be it done to me according to thy word. She believed. Church, we got to have faith. 2021 is going to be a year. Listen to me. In many ways, it'll be tougher than 20. Amen. Amen. 2020 is just the hill where we kind of get broken in, maybe, where we learn to get a stride. And I don't know that we're going to coast in 21. We're still going to be going uphill some. Praise God, it wouldn't bother me. Instead of going uphill, we went up to heaven. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yes. Jesus come back, catch his church out here. Praise God, let's go home with the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. They can have it later on. But we got to believe God. So we see the prophecy the angel gave. We see the puzzlement of Mary. But I want to look at Jesus here just a second. I want to point your attention to three places. We're going to take them one at a time. We're going to take them one at a time. I want you to look in verse number 31. This has to do with the prophecy. My throat's dry, so don't worry. I don't have anything. I can still smell backstrap wrapped in bacon cooked over a campfire. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. If I had some, I'd share it, praise God. I'm telling you. Oh, yes. I can still smell it, so I'm just letting you know I feel okay. I want you to look at verse number 31 with me, if you would. The Bible says here, "And behold," this is the angel speaking, "thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son," watch this, "and shalt call his name Jesus." We're going to look just for a second at what the angel says about Jesus. What does Gabriel say about Jesus, his name, and how he's going to be called? Look with me there in that verse here. "Thou shalt call and shalt call his name Jesus." Mary and Joseph were responsible for giving Jesus his name. I want you to listen to me. Jesus, hear me now, is his earthly name. His name wasn't called Jesus before this. Now, this does not mean that the Son of God came into existence at this time, like a lot of your Jehovah's Witnesses and your Arians teach. No, the divine Son has always existed from all eternity. We can see that. But I want to remind us here that when we look at this particular text here, the Bible says that the angel told Joseph later on down the road, but he tells Mary now, the very first person to know about the virgin birth is Mary. And by the way, God does work in your life. You're not going to find out from somebody else. You're going to find out because God's going to tell you personally. Amen. That's right. Amen. So here's Mary, and she's told that shall call his name Jesus. Now, first of all, I want to say this, that to name the child Jesus is an act of faith. They were not hallucinating. Modern scholarship will look, quote-unquote scholarship, will look at the Bible and say these people were hallucinating. They really didn't see angels or visions or anything like that. Well, friend, I want to remind us that we have two different visitations by an angel of the Lord speaking to both Joseph and Mary, giving them the same information about Jesus and about his name. That's not an hallucination. One takes place now. The other one took place not long before they were actually going to go ahead and get hitched on up. It's an act of faith. Number two, I want to say this. Mary and Joseph calling Jesus' name. Jesus is not only an act of faith, it's an act of obedience. They were instructed to call his name Jesus, and that's what they named him. They named him Jesus as an act of obedience. Watch this. Faith acts in obedience. Faith and works do not contradict. They coincide. They complement each other. Faith always comes first in the work. Amen. Amen. I know it's a little deep theologically, but that's okay. But I will say this. We see that Mary and Joseph will call his name Jesus. That's exactly what his name is. His name Jesus. He is the Messiah. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. That's who he is. And may I say to you this morning that his name Jesus, the name Jesus itself means Jehovah saves. Yahweh, God saves. The earthly name of the baby is telling us who that baby is. Because that baby has already been told to Joseph. What did Joseph tell or get told by the angel Matthew 1? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. If his name means Jehovah saves, and Jesus is going to save his people from their sins, who in the world is the baby? I'll tell you who it is. It's Jehovah God in a body of flesh come down to earth to save his people. Whoop! Hallelujah. Oh, yes. That's it. The name means Jehovah saves. Amen. Amen. And ever so often I hear people, well, preacher, we don't call him Jesus because his name is actually Yeshua. Well, let me go and tell you his name in the Greek language is Jesus. There's no J in the language there. But that was the language that God inspired the New Testament to be preserved in. So you can call him Jesus. You can go, when I'm preaching, if I were to, I hadn't preached in Spanish in years, but I could preach in Spanish and tell somebody that they need to believe in Jesucristo, to believe on Jesus Christ. And they'd know exactly what I'm talking about. So let's not get all hung up about the name, the way it's translated, because it means the same. It means Jehovah saves. Number one, thou shalt call his name Jesus. Look in verse number 35. After that, Mary says, how should this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. I actually got ahead of myself. Stop reading. Don't read that verse. Don't read the verse. Stop. I got ahead of myself. Got the wrong verse. I know you've never done that before when you've been preaching, so you'll forgive me for doing it, all right? Look at verse number 32. Yeah, there it is. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. So number one, watch this. His name's going to be called Jesus. Number two, the Bible says in verse 32, he will be called the Son of the Highest. Now it's interesting, the title of Jesus being the Son of the Highest or Jesus the Son of the Most High only occurs twice. In the gospel context, it occurs here, then it occurs in Mark 5. Do you know who's doing the talking in Mark 5, verse 7? It's the demoniac of Gadara. What hast thou to do with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High? Art thou come to torment us before the time? One writer I read after said this, this was original, but this was when I was studying, said this, is this the title or one of the titles by which the Lord is known in a world beyond our own world? Let that settle in for a minute. Let that settle in. I wish I'd have come up with that. I'm just not that smart. Could it be that the title, the Son of the Most High, the Son of the Highest, is the title that people, that beings outside of the physical world know Him as? That makes you stroke your beard and go, let me chew on that for a minute. Because when you look at the Son of the Most High, the title of Most High only is found whenever we look back in the Old Testament book of Genesis. I believe it's in chapter number 14 that after Abraham returns from the slaughter of the kings, we have Melchizedek, who is the priest of the Most High God. El Elyon, as you've probably seen it in some of your notes in your Bible. The priest of the Most High God. That's interesting. That's interesting. Here is the one whose priest Melchizedek. Watch this. If Jesus is the Son of the Most High, and God is identified as the Most High God, the one that Gabriel is now announcing the birth of is the son of the one whose priest Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who's the father of the Jewish nation. This is a long way around the barn saying, I mean, God does it His way, that this man is greater than Abraham. He's greater than David. He is the one who is the blesser of the Jewish nation. This even hints around Him being a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek out of Hebrews. It's right in the text, friend. It is right in the text. Number one, He's called Jesus. Number two, He's called the Son of the Highest. Now, go back to that verse I told you not to finish reading. We're going to read it together. Y'all ready? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, verse 35, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Three callings of Jesus in this text. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And lastly, the angel says, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Why is that? Well, if you look in the same verse, it tells us that He's conceived by the power, listen, not of man, but of the Holy Ghost. He's overshadowed by the power of the Highest. That's the same word used when it says He's the Son of the Highest. Listen to me. Gabriel is leaving no doubt in Mary's mind that this is a holy baby, but it's more than just a holy baby. This baby is going to be God's own son. There leaves no doubt in Mary's mind who this baby is. Now, you've seen the little memes and stuff, you know, that people don't like the song, Mary, Did You Know? You've seen those on Facebook. Mary, did you know them? Batman slaps Robin and says, yes, Luke 1:26 through 38, or something like that. Well, she probably didn't know that he was going to walk on water. She had no idea about that. You can't prove that to me from the Scripture. I'd love to go to the Catholic Church one of these days and sing Mary, did you know, because that just upset them like crazy. They think Mary knows it all. Amen. If you want to get to God, you got to go through his mama, apparently. That's what we were taught. But he is the Son of God. He's called Jesus. That's his earthly name. He's going to save his people from their sins. He's called the Son of the Highest. And that one writer I read after, he may have a little bit, that may be the name that he's known of outside this world. But I'll say this, the whole world now knows him as the Son of God. That's who he is. I want to ask you this morning, who is he? Is he the Son of God? I want to remind you that I believed he was virgin born. I believed he was the Son of God. I believed that he died on the cross. I believed that he was buried in the tomb. And I believed that he rose on the third morning. I believed all those things as a little boy from a young age on up. Sat just like Dylan in church, listening to those things, believed every bit of it, but never was saved. You can believe them up here. Listen to me. The devil knows that Jesus is the Son of the Most High. The devil knows that he's the Son of God. The devil knows that he died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. The devil knows that. And the Bible says the devils also believe. And what do? They tremble. That goes back to us talking about Mary fearing when she saw. We need to have a good, healthy dose of fear. You can believe all them in your head and still not be a Christian. Being a believer is a matter of the heart. If I really believed I could fly, I'd jump off a building and take off and fly. I can't fly. Gravity wins every time. There's no sense in believing something that's untrue. But I want to say to you this morning, Jesus is more than just a doctrine. He's more than a study. He's the Son of God. And I'll say this, he's the only Savior. He's the only Savior who can save anybody in this whole world. That's it. He's it. There's nobody else. The prophecy that the angel gave was fulfilled in one person, and that's Jesus. Ain't nobody else like him on planet Earth. Nobody else. Ain't nobody like him. There's one Jesus who is the Savior. Now, there are going to be false Christs. We talked about that last week. Many will come in my own name and say, here's Christ, there's Christ. No. There's one Savior. There's one Jesus. That's it. That's right. That's it. Do you know him this morning? Have you been born again? Been saved by the grace of God? There's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus. Amen. Let's all stand on our feet this morning. Miss Judy, why don't you go ahead and come this morning if you would please, sister. And we'll just have a verse this morning.